Come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Now that our son Nelson is in college, I'm thinking back to the remarkable high school career that he had playing basketball. He played on a remarkable basketball team at TMI, which is really a small little private school. All of the kids are relatively small, and they only had about 8 or 9 people, you know, on the whole team. And the coach had a knack for, you know, preparing the kids for district play. He would enter these citywide tournaments where anybody and everybody would sign up to come play. And so we found ourselves, little TMI, playing against these 6A high schools out of San Antonio and Austin and Dallas and Houston. There were also these club teams that would come and play, and of course, most of these kids were homeschooled, and all they did was play basketball and travel from tournament to tournament. And, you know, when our kids took the court against some of these other teams, you know, it was a scary thought. Some of these guys were 6'5", you know, fully grown men, full beards, and they were dunking the basketball, you know. And our kids were over here, you know, just, it didn't look like it was going to be much of a game at all. It was a David and Goliath story, for sure. But the remarkable thing was that we won an amazing number of these games. And we even won a few of the tournaments. Simply because basketball is a team sport. And it's not an individual sport. You know, there are many talented individuals, but those individuals were not able to pull it together. Our guys were less talented individually, but they knew how to play as a team. They knew how to pass the ball. They knew how to outschool them, and they ran circles around many of these guys. And they won the respect of coaches and players all over. And I'm convinced that a good team will beat a bunch of individuals any day. You know the old saying, there's no I in team. There's no I in team. We've all heard that. And I think that is what Paul is trying to say to the church at Corinth, as he writes this letter. He says the same thing. There is no I in the kingdom of God. There is no I in the spiritual gifts that you may possess. There is no I in the body of Christ. We are all part of a bigger team. And we all need each other's gifts and talents. We are all working together for the same thing. You know, Paul reminds them that, look, folks, before you knew Christ, when you were still pagans, as he uses the term, you worshipped speechless idols. But now you worship a God who has planted His life-giving Spirit within you. And He is now speaking to you. And not only to you, but through you to the whole world. And to each one of you, God has given a manifestation of His Spirit. He's not given you everything, but He has given you something. And it is not for yourself, but for the common good. We have all been given gifts from God, and they are all different. Not all of us has a great outside jump shot. Some are built for defense. Some are quick. Some are good ball handlers. Some are meant to stay inside, be tall, and protect the rim. But we need everybody. We need everybody using your unique gift and talent, because none of us are able to get there on our own. We are all valued members of the same team of what God is doing. Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of work, but the same God. You hear the Trinitarian language there. Gifts of the Spirit, service of the Lord, work of God. So what is the gift? What is the service? What is the work that God has given you to do for the common good? Do you see your life's work as worship to God? Do you see your gifts and talents as something not to consume for yourself, but to give away? Because we can't get there on our own. We don't have everything we need. There is no I in God's mission and service. So here's where the illustration of team begins to break down a little bit. Because we're not talking about winning. We're talking about living life to the fullest. We're talking about claiming the abundance that God has. We're talking about being reconciled to God, to ourselves, to one another, and to creation. Because we're all living in a world of broken relationships. Poverty, ultimately, is about broken relationships. It's not just about who has what in the material sense. Broken relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and with creation. And somehow they're all related. The materially rich are broken in one way, and the materially poor are broken in another way. And the fact is that we're all in need of God's healing. And what we're learning is that each has what the other needs. We need each other. We have to cross over this great divide of fear and receive what the other has to offer, and to give what we have that they need. God has put His Holy Spirit within us to speak to us and through us, as Paul says, for the common good. For the common good. In basketball, it may be for winning. In the kingdom of God, it's for healing and reconciliation in those relationships. Self, others, creation, God. And the way that we are healed in these vital relationships is offering ourselves back to God as a worship, as an offering to Him for others. You know, we at the Church of the Good Shepherd are blessed in so many ways. And I believe that we have what the poor in this community so desperately need. And it's not our material possessions. It's not our money. But rather our skills, our compassion. You know, compassion literally means to suffer with, to identify with, to understand. They need our encouragement. They need the love of Jesus. They need, they don't just need the gospel message preached and taught, but they need the love lived out in community. As we have learned, the material poor don't really want just a gift. We hear that from them. What they want is an opportunity to live into a restored relationship with God, themselves, others, and creation. They want to heal these relationships just as much as we want to heal our relationships. They want to grow just as much as we want to grow. The interesting thing is that we can't do this in isolation of one another. We have to do it together. As Paul talks about the common good, I believe he's talking about what God wants most, and that's mutual healing and reconciliation for all people. That's what Christ came to do. And the beautiful thing is that when we are willing to walk side by side and hand in hand with those who are the materially poor, and we can say to each other, I am broken and you are broken, Jesus can and will show up and bring the healing that we both desperately need. And that, my friends, is what the common good is. And that is what the Spirit of God has been given to each of us for. Amen. Thank you.